Yeah, welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It is a Tuesday morning, and our chance to get updated from local government. The second Tuesday of the month, we talk Riley County news, and we'll do that here most of the hour. We got Commissioner Greg McKinley in the studio with us today. Greg, good to have you in.
Glad to be here.
And we've also, you brought a guest with you here, someone we haven't really been formally introduced to on air, and his name is John Martins. John, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is John Martins. I'm one of the new deputy fire chiefs with the Riley County Fire District. So glad to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming out here. It's a wonderful opportunity here. John and I got introduced last week from that big fire that happened that was a week ago Monday. And so I thought, well, this is an appropriate opportunity for us to get formally introduced here on In Focus. So where are you from?
Yes, I grew up in small town USA, Heston, Kansas, just I guess north of Wichita, about 30 minutes or so, and spent most of my childhood there. Came up here as a student for 4 or 5 years, went back to the Wichita area to do some firefighting there, and then came on back to Manhattan in 2016. So,
all right.
It's been great. Yep.
And you've been here since the summertime, right?
Correct. I've been with Fire District about 5 years since we moved back, and then I guess promoted and became one of the new deputy chiefs in May of this year.
Well, and of course, there's been a little bit of restructuring, Greg, of that role. Of course, Pat Collins was here forever,
yeah.
It seems like.
over 30 years.
Right, and he retired.
40, yeah. 40. I think it was over 40 even, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He retires, and that kind of puts you guys in a different spot here that you weren't anticipating, and, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
So, we've got a couple new deputy fire chiefs.
Yeah, they kind of restructured it. Before, they had Pat was the emergency management coordinator and the fire chief, and then there was an assistant fire chief. And originally, they had set it up. It was going to be the new Russell Stuckey was going to be just emergency management, and then have a separate fire chief and assistant fire chief. And after he'd been there a while, he said he didn't think that was going to work. It wasn't working how he wanted. He needed to divide up the duties between two people rather equally, rather than having one over another. So that's why he went to two deputies.
Okay. So your responsibility then, how are the responsibilities split? What do you do versus what?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So I'm the deputy chief of administration. So what that means is I spend a lot of time with some of the, some of the administrative duties in the office. I'm doing a lot more with some of the technology that we use, managing some of the code enforcement inspections. We do share an on-call schedule, so I am on call about half the time during and after hours. So we divide that up well. That works for our families. And then obviously the training, we co-lead that as well as, some of the other duties. There's quite a few that, you know, the fire service is so much more than just fire. And a lot of people realize that and some people don't, but there's just a whole lot more. So I also am in charge of the EMS credentialing and keeping our first responders that have training up to speed with the local medical director and Riley County EMS. And so anyway, there's just a lot of moving parts and pieces. We're still definitely learning our roles, getting acquainted. The other deputy chief is Doug Russell. He's the deputy chief of operations. And so in operations, what that means is more keeping the trucks in, you know, working condition, managing station maintenance, keeping some of the day-to-day things in order, right? Because the calls come anytime. So, that's kind of a quick summary of what our structure looks like. And then, as Commissioner McKinley said, the Russell Stuckey is the director, department head, and our fire chief for the district.
And he's been on board for about a year now, right?
Yeah, just a little over a year. I can't remember exactly. It was last year, October, November, sometime when he started. And I've heard from several of the volunteers that they really like the structure. It's working well. The new structure is working well for them, too. They're happy with how it's been set up.
Well, it's good to talk, fire safety, especially this time of year. And, you know, we see fires happen just kind of unexpectedly, it seems like. I don't know if it's at a higher clip, but it seems like when people go indoors and it gets colder, that seems to be prime time for fires.
Yeah, definitely. As you mentioned, they can happen any time, but this time of year is a time where being a little more proactive is important. October is, I know we're in November, but October is like the fire safety month. This here time change, one reminder we always get out to the public is that the when we change our clocks, we should also be changing our smoke detector batteries. It's just a very important preventative thing that we can all do that's easy, and it's a good time to do it when the time changes. And so working smoke detectors are a critical element of home fire safety. And then after 10 years, we actually tell you to replace them. And some of them out there will just start beeping at 10 years, and you kind of have to because you're not going to be able to sleep very good with that thing beeping all night long.
Oh, absolutely.
they make them with it. The new ones I got when mm-hmm. I replaced a bunch just last year that they have a 10-year battery.
That's right.
And like I say, and then they said at the end of 10 years, it's going to be
yep.
noise and make you trade
you get
it
rid
out.
Of it. Yeah. And you replace it. That's the other key.
Yeah.
So. That's good advice here, and I've seen some information also for people who live out in the county. Probably this is probably good advice too. Is you know it's been a little dry. You know we haven't had a lot of moisture. We've had a little, but wouldn't take much, I don't think, to start up a wildfire right about now.
Yeah, we do. Occasionally in the fall, going into winter, see somewhat of a grass season, as we call it. Typically, our spring would be the grass season, but we can have a fall season where we have some of the wildland fire issues. Some of the things we can do with that, obviously follow our burn permitting process as much as possible. That's on our website, as well as some common sense and making sure you have the resources to be able to manage your own fire if you're out in the county and you are burning. There are benefits to burning, but it needs to be done at the right time, at the right place.
Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, I know there's a... looks like we're getting some phone calls. We'll see if got any questions coming in here. But lots going on here in the county. You guys had a pretty busy meeting. It's kind of an odd month here in November, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's like I said, like we were saying, we don't meet much on Thursday this month for various, you know, Veterans Day this week and Thanksgiving a couple of weeks. And last week, because of John's get COVID, they canceled our meeting. And so the Mondays are stacking up.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, yeah, because you guys meet twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, and a little anomaly here in November.
Yeah.
We've got Robert standing by here. Robert has a question or a comment, so go ahead, Robert.
Thank you for cautioning everybody about the dead grass and the explosive cedar trees that are all through the county. We don't know, as taxpayers, when we go out on one of our little weekend visits, that there could be fires raging across the county. And I've got up to the Riley intersection of this particular time, and big flames over on the east where the homestead was burning. And oh my goodness, went on up to Randolph there to get an ice cream and standing outside the door with my, and here came the big fire truck and then pulls into the fire hydrant right there. And the older fellow jumps out by himself, runs around, grabs the hose, hooks it up to the truck and the fire hydrant, fills that truck up and snatches the hose off, puts everything back and jumps back in the truck. Before I even had time for my ice cream to melt in my hand, and he's off to the fire I know nothing about. As a taxpayer, I'd sure like to support those efforts that we don't know anything about. Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention and widening our horizons.
Mm. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I think it's important to know, too, just that the Riley County Fire District, we do provide primary protection and emergency response across the county, which is a large area, you know, 450-plus square miles. And we are everyday, people, teachers, farmers, contractors, electricians, plumbers, the list goes on and on. That make that happen. So thank you for your support.
I may ask a dumb question here, and forgive me if it sounds stupid, but is fire district number one, is there a fire district two? Or is it just,
nope.
Okay.
So we are one large family, as we say. It's been fire district one since, I believe, the 1965 time frame, and then obviously there's been some of the local cities have we've merged with some of those, and then some still have, like the city of Riley still has a fire department. So anyway, there's some different agreements that have taken place where we've covered, you know, the Leonardville, Ogden, Randolph primary, but city of Riley still has a fire department.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now I learned something new here. So yeah. Thanks for educating me on that. Mm-hmm. Let's take a time out. We'll come back and discuss some more things here with Commissioner McKinley and John Martins, Deputy Fire Chief with Fire District Number 1, in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.